see what good fruit can do for your life. You'll remember the experience, and you'll remember the name. Herberfling Fucker.
Welcome back to Shitlist for our much-awaited and very special bonus episode where we travel to the Schitt's Creek homeland of Goodwood, Ontario. Come along with us as we venture across the border to discover all the iconic film locations that Ontario has to offer. So pack your passport, favorite wigs, and some cute looks for the barn, and stay tuned as Shitlist goes to Canada.
Sorry we've been gone for so long, folks, but we're back.
Sorry.
We're back. A very special episode this week. This is not our normal structure or our sequence.
Buckle up.
Grab your passports and buckle up because we're going to Canada, y'all. Or we went to Canada, actually.
After an extended summer break.
Yes. This is the longest we've been away from the podcast. Yeah. It'll be like 2 months total when we come back with normal episodes, which is very crazy. I was just telling Katie my like podcast station that were like cobwebs. Literally, it's in my basement. I just don't come down here anymore.
Yours has cobwebs. Mine completely died.
RIP laptop.
Laptop I used for this, which was a dinosaur. Anyway, got left out on the rain in the rain one night. And so now I'm on a whole new setup.
Yes,
which is still semi-functioning.
I can hear Katie. I just cannot see her.
We're working on that.
I know you can never see us, but I usually can see Katie, and I'm just going to have to imagine her face.
You just imagine me. Yes. Imagine me.
But yeah, welcome back, everyone. Yeah. This has been a huge, huge break for us, but we are back to unpack a very special pilgrimage that we've been calling it to visit all of the Schitt's Creek locations and landmarks.
So you guys knew we were going. We were talking about it. So when we were originally going to go, got pushed back. We were going to go in July.
Somebody was delinquent on renewing her passport, and that somebody was me, and it was stressing Katie out, rightfully so.
We just needed to like call it. I was like, we just need to know if we're going or not.
It arrived like days before we were planning to go, which was too close to wait to cancel plans. So we called it, and then it arrived anyways, but that was fine. And then we thought we would go in late September.
Yeah.
Because our summers are pretty busy. But Katie, we ended up going a little bit earlier than planned.
We did.
Explain why.
The first weekend in August, as you all know, I've been talking about my niece's wedding, and the first weekend in August was supposed to be her bachelorette weekend. And thanks to COVID, that got canceled. Yes. Well, I still needed to see Stephanie because she had my dress for alterations. And I said, Stephanie, I have two options for you. One, I come to Cincinnati and we just hang out at your place. Or two, we move this Canada trip up.
And this was like on a Wednesday.
Yeah, this was 2 days before we were supposed to go.
Yeah.
And luckily, Stephanie was planning on hanging out with us anyway that weekend and had no plans.
Yeah.
I was her plans. And so we said, screw it, let's do it.
So we were able to... Thank God for cancellation options on hotel reservations, because in the end, we've made three separate reservations. So I was able to cancel the September. We found a place that was in Newmarket, which was going to be close-ish to the places we wanted to go. And we were able to make it happen within like 48 hours.
Basically. Yeah, it was the most thrown together trip I think I've ever done. I brought so many clothes for a three-day weekend that I didn't use half of them.
But probably one of the most memorable trips ever.
It was really fun.
And we're gonna unpack it all for you guys today.
Yeah. So I think I did take a small audio recorder with us along the way.
Yes.
So we have virtually documented our trip in chronological order this way. And we weren't really sure how we were gonna use these audio clips when we first started, but I think we're just gonna share them with you guys.
Totally. And we knew like the audio clips on their own wouldn't be enough to make an episode. So we're kind of here to like fill in those blanks, give a little more detail. But I think it's really fun to see or listen, I guess, to our reactions in real time, like when we're driving up onto Goodwood on, you know, the intersection where everything is, and I'm screaming, which you guys will hear.
Yeah.
I was worried that if we waited too long to like recap everything, I would forget those little
details. It wouldn't be as fresh in our minds. So we're just a week after, not even like we got home on Monday.
This episode, when you guys hear this, it'll be like 2 or 3 weeks after we're filming right now.
Yeah.
So It's been a minute. So if there's any like big news in the world that we're not talking about, we'll talk about that next week when we come back.
We're going to, we'll get back to our normal format next week.
Exactly.
And we'll recap the summer and we'll recap news and all that. But for today, you're just going to come on this journey with us.
Yes. So buckle up. It's going to be great.
So for anyone, like, I know like a lot of fans want to do this, you know, like, and a lot of people do, I see them post in the Facebook groups. Mm-hmm. So if you are planning on going, I would say, Steph, that Newmarket was probably the perfect central location to stay in, right?
I agree.
So yes. Newmarket, Ontario was really central to
about
everything.
40 minutes north of downtown Toronto.
Yeah. Yep.
But there were places to the west and places to the east of us that we wanted to go.
I would say everything was within a half hour drive that we wanted to see. So it was perfect. So if you're planning to go, Newmarket is your place. I think.
And there were like places to go out to eat there. It was actually a surprisingly big town.
It was really surprising.
Overall,
I think that we both felt that everything we saw was surprisingly a big town because we see the show and we expect it to just be in the middle of nowhere. But here we are driving through cities and
that's the thing. We ended up going to like six separate towns to see the locations that we ended up seeing. I don't think I included like proper Toronto in that with the house. So seven, but they make it feel like it's all.
Yep.
It's all just there on one like square mile, basically. So that was kind of cool.
And a lot of it is right there, but there are some satellite locations.
Definitely. So let's get started. I guess we'll start how we started, which was we each drove on Friday to Michigan. We stayed like 10 minutes apart from each other. You were at your friend Morgan's. I was at my cousin Jenny's. And then Saturday morning, bright and early, I picked you up and we headed to Canada. Due east to Canada. We went through, so those of you who are familiar with
Michiganders will know.
we ended up crossing over in Port Huron, which is where my mom is. She grew up in Port Huron, so it was kind of nice to go back there or drive through. And then we came back through Windsor, which connects into Detroit. So we got to go through both of the Michigan border crossings, I guess. But we were a little nervous crossing in.
What is it about customs?
You just rethink all of your choices of like
what's in my car.
I had like some studio lights in my back seat from work that I just had neglected to put in the house. And as we're crossing the bridge, I'm like, oh, are they going to get suspicious by these studio lights?
What if they ask questions about
this? Are they going to think we're coming for work and not just for leisure and stupidity? Like, are they going to read into that? And so I got nervous about that. But we pulled up to
the cutest little border guy.
So cute. So cutely Canadian, too. And
he really was. He was.
Oh, well, first of all, he thought we were Canadian, which was like these days the biggest compliment. He was like, so how long have you ladies been in the States? And I'm like, we're from America.
Oh, my whole life. Thank you for asking.
And then he finally looked at our passports. Oh, OK. Yeah. Sorry. I don't think he said sorry.
Sorry.
I did hear a couple people say sorry.
Yeah.
Over there. And he's like, so what's bringing you to Canada? We're like, oh, we're just going to be north of Toronto. I didn't really want to say at first. He's like, oh, and what will you be doing there? Just visiting all the Schitt's Creek sites.
And he kind of got a little chuckle. Oh, yeah. And I'm wearing my U David hat. So I
she points to it and he laughs and he's like, good show. And he let us through. So that was exciting. We have a little clip from that, like our
from our bridge crossing.
Then. Yeah. So I guess we'll go ahead and play that now.
Stephanie, we're here in the customs line about to cross into the border. What's our story?
I don't know, but my palms are sweating.
Knees weak, arms are heavy. vomit on your shirt, mom, spaghetti.
Hello, Ossifer.
Okay, we're just going to say we're crazed lunatic fans. And
have you heard of this show called Schitt's Creek?
Have you heard of Schitt's Creek? It's a Canadian phenomenon. And
we're here on our pilgrimage.
We're pilgrimaging.
Please let us in.
Please don't turn us away. Well, guys, we made it through customs.
We made it. It was a little nerve-wracking. They asked us what we were doing there, what we were going to be going to see.
We were basically like just a couple of nerds going to see Schitt's Creek.
Katie's in her U David hat. I'm in my Bob Jog shirt. And he's like, so what will you be seeing while you're here?
Rose Apothecary, Bob's Garage, Twyla's Cafe.
Katie's like, we're just a couple of nerds. And he laughed and let us through.
So. He was a good-looking guy.
He said, oh, that's a good show. I'm like, yeah.
We should have brought business cards. Would you like to follow our podcast? We should have quoted him. Would you like to give a quote?
Anything you'd like to say?
Anything you'd like to say for us?
Of the Canadian population.
We didn't want to press our luck.
Yeah.
I came across the border with a couple cans of hard seltzer in the cooler. We didn't declare them, and we didn't want to get caught.
Yeah.
All right. Stay tuned.
So yeah, as you can hear, we were very eager, excited border crossers.
That was it. That was in, and then out the other side.
And I definitely forgot about some of the Canadian changes as far as, like, first of all, the roads were very nice, like, the whole way, which was refreshing, especially coming from Michigan, which is known for its beautiful roads.
I think they put their tax money into their infrastructure.
I think they understand that. And even, like, their road, like, their bathrooms, like, their pit stops were also really nice.
Yeah. Kilometers. We switched to kilometers right away.
I was glad my car had the option because, like, I still don't fully understand the conversion. And so, like, even knowing, like, how many kilometers I had left in my gas tank was helpful and how fast I was going.
The only thing it still confused me on is every now and then when I would look at a road sign and it would say how far to the next destination, it felt like so far. But then I thought, wait, it's kilometers.
Kilometers.
Those so in my head, because I'm a runner, in my head, I have to do everything in fives or tens, 5Ks or 10Ks, because that I can relate to. So I would definitely divide kilometers by five and multiply by 3.1 miles to figure out the miles.
See, this is where, like, imperial math just has really set us up for failure as Americans, because metric makes sense on paper, but my brain cannot adjust.
Yeah.
Even we got gas once and I was, like, so confused and a little concerned because the prices seemed crazy. Like, it would say, like, 165.9. And I'm like, dollars? Like, that's so much. And that's for just a liter, which is smaller than a gallon. I didn't know that much.
So what was your tank filled up for 63 Canadian dollars, right?
Canadian dollars. And the conversion rates are different. So I haven't looked at my bank statement to see, like, what it actually charged me in US dollars, but I think it's less than that.
Yeah.
I only know this because when we crossed the border, it was like $4 Canadian, $3.50 American dollars. But it was just like, okay, I need gas regardless. So it is what it is. But it was like 33 liters when I'm used to like 11 gallons, $66 Canadian. And the price that they show is like in cents. So it's like 169 cents per liter. There's no decimal for the dollar.
Yeah. So even though it's just as easy to write $1.69, like, that doesn't make any sense.
Put that little dot, because it was so like, oh my God.
So the tank took like $46 to fill up. Yeah. I just Googled that.
Which is like a little bit more than what I normally pay. But Sushant did tell me, like, our fuel contracts, partnerships, whatever, blah, 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 in the US give us better gas prices than Canada generally.
All right. Well, good to know. Thank you, Sushant, for that tidbit.
My international correspondent. So yeah, we made it through. The roads were very nice. We noticed, like, a lot of Canadian flags along the road.
Yeah. But
they felt less aggressive than the American flags, I think, just given the political climate. And honestly, it was very nice to just, like, no shade to America, but shade. Like, it was nice to get out of the country and just, like, have a little Americana detox, I think, is really what I needed.
When we first got in there, every, like, attraction sign for miles had either a brewery, a winery, or a distillery on it. And we were like, this is our land. To the right place.
We have arrived.
we didn't stop at any because we were, you know, we were just beelining it to our hotel. But the options are there if you want to make a tour out of it, guys.
Totally. And as far as, because that was something we were concerned about, we knew we were going to be going to the Herb Ertlinger Winery. So I also wanted to be aware of, like, how much alcohol can you buy and bring back?
Yeah, what you're allowed to bring back.
And Katie, you did some research. Is it two bottles?
It's 1.5 liters of wine. So two 750 milliliter bottles, which is a regular bottle of wine. So we each could have gotten. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. So we each could have gotten two bottles of wine with no problem. I'm always worried about that, too. Like, when we've come back from Europe, it's always because Joe likes to, like, really buy a bunch of stuff. And I keep reminding him, you can't bring that much back. Like, just.
Well, even things like produce or, like, any, like,
Yeah, well, live those are that's plans, a no-no anything. For sure.
Yeah. Yeah. So it is all very confusing. But
so fun fact, Morgan, who I stayed with, her husband works for TSA, and that was his first job, was checking like produce and things that people were trying to bring in from other countries and just monitoring them. He worked in the airport.
Interesting.
So, yeah.
Well, when I lived in Buffalo like 12 years ago, I would drive through Canada to go home to Michigan. I remember I was there for my birthday once. We were actually in Port Huron where we crossed over to Canada, and someone like gave me flowers for my birthday. I was like, oh, that's so sweet. And I was like, I don't think I can bring these home
because right.
I
not can't going bring that, flowers. Not going
so
that
I like
way.
Left
right.
them with my grandma or something. Cause yeah. You
and
can't.
The alternative route around the lakes is
like
way
twice
longer.
As long. Yeah. No
in thanks. Fact, GPS kept suggesting that to us for this trip.
You could do 4 hours or you could do eight hours.
No, no, bitch. We're not doing that.
So yeah. So, anyways, we made it into Canada. It was like maybe a 3.5-4 hour drive. We went through like Toronto traffic, which is crazy. So many lanes of traffic.
I was surprised. I felt like I was in LA.
Like 10 lanes on each side, and then like 3 of them are express lanes.
Mm-hmm.
It was intense for sure. But we got like a little view of downtown. We didn't really go into downtown at all, but like I saw the Space Needle, if that's what it's called.
The CN Tower.
The CN Tower.
Called, yep.
Oh yeah, Space Needle is
Space Needle's in Seattle.
Same shape. I didn't realize how tall it was. You told me that at one point that was the tallest structure.
At one point it was. We went on an 8th grade trip to Toronto, and when we went there, that was the tallest in the world,
wow.
I believe.
Okay.
So yeah, it's been surpassed a lot now.
Right. We were at a distance, so I couldn't really take in its full scope. But
then we made a left turn and headed north
to Newmarket, and it is interesting because you see like population signs all along the way, and it's like, Newmarket population 125,000. I'm like, where are all these? Like, yeah. That sounds like so many people for it. Even like on the highway, you don't really see much as far
or
as
see
like,
where people live, even
right. So that seemed like a surprisingly big town. But we checked into our hotel, which was a Comfort Inn in Suites, which had some motel-y vibes to it for sure.
For sure, yep.
But it did the job. We were staying there 2 nights.
Well, what time did we get there? We got there about 3 o'clock, right?
About 3 o'clock.
Yeah. Yep.
Mm-hmm. So we settled in. We made a little Instagram video of throwing my duffel bag from one bed.
You get murdered first.
No, you get murdered
first.
Forgot
about that.
And then I think this is where we sat down and kind of did our next little audio clip of what our plan was. And we do end up going to see the motel that first day. So I guess let's roll that next clip, Katie.
Okay, guys, we've arrived at our hotel. It's the Comfort Inn, Spectacular Comfort Inn in Newmarket.
On Journey's
Ontario.
End Road.
Literally on Journey's End Road.
We reached the end of our journey.
Reached our journey's end.
Yes.
Where are we headed to first, Steph?
We are going to be here. Well, we're going to be here for 2 days, which is longer than we originally planned. Yep. So that gives us time to see as much as we can. We're going to start. We have to start with the Rosebud Motel, which is in Orangeville.
The main event.
The main event. So we're going to drive out there today. Other places we're going to be seeing are the Blouse Barn, which is called Crocodoodle. It's an actual, I think, clothing store. We'll find out. And that's in Markham, Ontario. We also have plans to stop at the Herb Ertlinger, otherwise known as the Applewood Farm and Winery.
Yes.
That is in Seagrave, Ontario. We're going to be going to Goodwood, of course, which is where they have the cafe,
Main Street,
Bob's Garage, the Apothecary, I believe Town Hall and the Schitt's House. Are in that
all within walking distance
area. We're also going to be going to Ted's Vet Clinic, which is in Stouffville.
Ted Vet dot vet slash net or whatever was
Ted
the
Vet dot net / Ted Vet. And then we're going to be going to on our last day Rattlesnake Point Conservation Area, doing the engagement hike. Katie, are we going to get engaged?
Well, I'm
going
to propose to you. Okay. I'm definitely getting down on one knee.
And then we added this to our list last minute. We want to make sure we stop by the Rose Family Mansion, which is that mansion that went up for sale recently. And that's just like in the outskirts of Toronto. So we'll be sure to do a drive-by on the end of our trip. I think that's everything that we plan on seeing. Very excited.
Then we're off.
We're going to head off. So we'll keep you guys posted along the way, give you little updates. We'll try not to be too much of a menace to society as we visit all of these
We're not
going to
be those people that get in trouble for pestering the locals.
Yeah, we'll do our best. So hope you guys enjoy this journey with us.
Let's do it.
So yeah, We made it to our hotel. I forgot it was on Journey's End Road or Journey's End Circle or something, literally.
How poetic.
So poetic. And so we decided to go to the motel as our first stop, which I think was really, now looking back at all of it, I really love that we, that's where we started.
Yeah.
Because that's kind of where the whole show begins, really, when you think about it. So
logistically it made sense too, because it is the only, from where we were, the only thing that was where in the direction we were going. So,
so we had to head west to go back
west a little bit. Yeah.
And that was like a 40-minute drive. And thinking about how often they film that exterior of the motel.
Yeah.
From like a,
from the production from the scheduling standpoint,
realizing like, okay, they have to all haul ass out there.
Yeah.
At least a couple times each episode, or at least there's a couple scenes each episode. They don't film in order of the show.
Right. So they had to have their list together and know what they were going to need.
Yeah. Multiple costume changes and like have all that stuff there so that they could get all of that shooting done and then go back, which would probably be more like an hour 10 to Goodwood, honestly. Where all the
if they're transitioning to outside, but think too if they're transitioning from inside the Rosebud to outside.
That's so all that studio. Was
on a that was all in a studio, and I'm not sure where if they did it if it's in Toronto itself proper or where they shot that.
Right.
So, like you were saying with costume changes, so they have to have this schedule. I'm not sure what the person on the crew is called. There's a title for this person who's like just in charge of. Consistency,
continuity,
and, continuity. That's the word I'm looking for. And they have to have a list of what this person was wearing inside the motel and what shot we're doing
also
outside
like,
the motel.
Things like jewelry and hair, and just making sure that you know from one scene to the next they're not accidentally wearing a bracelet on the wrong arm.
Yep.
And when people do catch those like mistakes in shows and movies, like this is why it's because they're not filming at all like seamlessly. Yeah. Sometimes there's days between when they like do each of those segments of it. A scene. So
this was a great first stop, the mothership, as you posted about
it. Totally was
in the Instagram,
and it was way out in the country. The hills were alive, and it was like surprisingly not mountainous but like foothills,
like rolling hills,
Roland hills. And it's just totally in the middle of nowhere, and we're on this country road. It's like, okay, turn right, and it's 0.2 miles ahead on the left. And I'm like, how?
There's trees. You can't
see
anything.
Everywhere. And then all of a sudden, it just appears, and there is the motel, and you pull in exactly like we did on the show.
And we both were like,
oh my gosh.
Regrettably, I was not recording when we came upon this.
No.
This actually made me record every location
reactions.
After because our real-time reaction to this one was probably the best one, and it wasn't on audio. So
I think so. Yeah. And it was like, it was surreal. That's the only way I can put it. And we even talked about it felt bigger in person. Like
it felt really tall to
longer,
me.
Longer, taller. So there's obviously no like the motel sign isn't there. It's just the building. And it is a little sad. Like I realized afterwards, like some of the like the eaves troughs are kind of like pulling back and, you know, but everything else, like there's the yard off to the side where they do like the barbecue and Mutt builds that, cedar chest, like it's all the space is there. There is like a little house off to the like far
end left
where Stevie kind of parks her car, and now I'm wondering, did they have Stevie's car there intentionally to block
thinking,
because the thing about this now too is like I'm going back and rewatching old episodes like a maniac, like taking crazy like observations of that's where that is, and we were there, like because now we can like visualize it and it's like real state. Not just in the universe of the show. But yeah, we got out. We took some pictures. And then another car arrived shortly after we got there. And it was a couple who were just starting the show. I think we've got an audience.
And they were just into season two, they said.
Yeah, just into season two. They lived like 15 minutes down the road.
amateurs, like, please.
We came from abroad to come here.
They were surprised. We came from Ohio. They were like, what? Ohio and Michigan, but...
Yeah, they couldn't believe it. I'm like, no, this is a big deal. So like we took their picture, they took our pictures, and it was very like, I don't know, I've been watching old episodes, like I said, and now it's just crazy to be like, this might sound stupid, I'm like, we stood there. We stood in that gravel parking lot. And like just the little details of like there's this gap where the vending machines are, like where it looks like there could be a door, and they put a vending machine there in the show. And just
so
weird shit.
Just as a commentary, we did get someone messaging saying, "Did you take a peek inside the motel rooms? Like they don't look like that.
No,
they don't look like that at all. That's studio. The inside is completely artificial."
From like the continuity perspective, when they open the door from the exterior and then they flip to the interior, that is a different day in the studio. Like,
yeah,
that is not the same place. The only places that they actually film indoors are the apothecary and I believe also the blouse barn, because I've been watching those episodes too. And I'm pretty sure that's
the same. You can see the outside.
You can see the exterior.
Now that we know what the main street really looks like.
But otherwise, it's always like just the exterior scenes and then separate studio interiors. We didn't actually go up and look in the windows, I'm realizing. I feel a little like...
I just was thinking, we didn't even stand right in front of the door or anything like that.
We didn't. And I kind of treated,
are we having regrets?
Also, like, I don't know. I had this unease, at least in the beginning, because I've read and heard the cast talk a lot about how they want fans of the show to be respectful of these places.
Right.
And not flood these small towns and disturb the residences. And I definitely had some unease going into this. Like, I don't want us to do that. And Shushat even told me, like, don't be a menace while you guys are there. And I was like, okay, we'll do our best. And so I felt like there was like a beware of dog sign on the like the very end. And
yeah,
it's somebody's property. So I felt like a little uneasy at first of like, I didn't want to walk around the whole building and like and get in trouble.
right.
So I was kind of like felt okay keeping a distance at first. But as we go through and see more things, like we were in more public spaces. But this is the one that was like,
well, and the other thing too abandoned. Is later on, especially in Goodwood, there were clearly other people doing what we were doing. So it was like more of a sense of community versus us just being at this random motel.
But even still, like I always wanted, like I think we didn't want to be those people who like ruin it for the rest of us.
Right.
So yeah, we had our like 2 or 3 minutes. We took it all in, took our photos, and then we headed back.
Went back for dinner.
I think we have a little clip kind of unpacking our reaction. So let's roll that beautiful bean footage.
All right, guys, we just hit the motel. Our first stop of our trip. Stephanie, impressions.
Honestly, it was bigger than we thought it would be.
Much bigger. I mean, not huge, but just
this, it seemed longer.
It looks miniature in the show compared to
really
what it is in
maybe
real life.
Because it doesn't have the sign. Let's give some context of where it is. So it's about
so far
40-minute drive.
We just drove more than that, I think. We just drove 45 minutes to get here, got out for 2 seconds.
But it was worth it. That's what this is about.
And we weren't the only ones.
We weren't. No, another car pulled up with a couple who live, they said, like 15, 20 minutes down the road. Just started watching the show not long ago. They're on season 2.
Amateurs.
We told them about the podcast. I'm realizing now we didn't tell them.
We should. I wish we had stickers or business cards or something.
But they were like, wow, you guys came from a lot farther than we did. We're like, yeah, we're making a whole pilgrimage out of
this. This is our episode.
But yeah, it was just really, we're out in the middle of like winding
country.
Hills in the woods. And
it's also very mountainous, like
very mountainous,
not totally. Mountains per se, but
rolling
very
hills.
Hilly. Okay. Well, good drive. Good first
Worth
stop.
It. Yep.
Cool.
On to the next.
So then we were on to the next. We went back for dinner, and we went to bed at 7:30.
Oh, no, we got in bed at 7:30, and then we watched Twister on AMC.
Oh yeah, that was a good throwback film. Actually, that was good.
And it was kind of like, thinking about it now, it was kind of funny. That's what we did, because even in the show, when they like sit down and the TVs are old, our TV wasn't old, but it was like the channels were all analog for some reason, which you never see anymore.
I didn't even know that still existed anywhere in the world.
So we were a little limited. And also, like, streaming services, the catalogs are different in different countries.
You couldn't watch Schitt's Creek
I wanted to watch it on, I watch on Prime Freevee or whatever, where you can watch it with ads. So we were like, well, what should we watch? And then we found Twister. And it was actually, I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, I do like Twister. It's a good once in a while when you catch it, you got to watch it type
movie.
Totally.
So yeah, but we grabbed dinner. We had some pasta and some sparkling bubbly. Oh yeah, bubbly
the Italian
Prosecco.
Restaurant was really good. That place was good. Good. I think that was my favorite. Well, we only ate in two places, really.
Oh yeah, that was our better dinner for sure.
Two dinner, yeah.
But you were like, we were expecting bread, and they never brought us bread. And then you were like, could we like get some bread?
Do you have any like bread?
We need bread. And, oh yeah, sure, sure. It's $5. Is that okay? We're like, that's perfect.
I don't care how much it is.
Money
I need bread
is,
at
money
this point.
Is no issue.
Jesus.
Just bring me
well,
bread.
Also, it was very deceiving because it had some of that oily stuff on the table that was just there
right,
where it
we
looked like you were just automatically going to get bread. Like,
but
don't
also,
tease me like that.
Are Canadians like notoriously healthier than Americans, so it's just our like expectation of bread everywhere we go that maybe they don't need bread as much. I don't know.
I'm soaking down a whole bottle of Prosecco. I need some bread.
Totally.
So we went to bed, watched yeah. Twister. We had nightmares of weather hazards. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Our weather actually ended up being pretty good while
great.
We were there.
It was really great.
So next day was Sunday, and this was our big
this was
day.
Our big day.
Yes, we were going to check off all of the. And one thing about this trip too, originally we were just going to stay one night and like cram it into 2 days plus driving.
It would have been impossible.
Yeah. So having two nights, so like one full day and then driving on the other ends plus a little bit of sightseeing was really.
Yeah, because like I had already planned Monday off for the Bachelorette I was supposed to be at, and you
right.
can
my
get
my classes were over, so I could take
your
Monday
summer
off.
Schedule is a lot more flexible than yes. your fall schedule, so this actually right. worked out perfectly.
So we were able to spend this full Sunday seeing really basically all the
things.
Other sites we wanted to see. So we started with the Blouse Barn, which was in this very cute town.
Oh my god, the town
Unionville,
so cute.
It reminded me, if you're familiar with Northern Michigan, like it reminded me of Traverse City or even like
Petoskey, like Petoskey a little bit. Yeah,
this very cute little main street with like all these super charming buildings. The architecture is so interesting. It's like
gingerbread houses.
Exactly, like gingerbread houses, like the American Gothic house, if you know that, like painting with the farmer and his wife out front. Like, it's just all very charming. Yep.
This is probably just being its location to Toronto, it's probably like a summer getaway spot for
totally.
People, I'm
and
sure.
It was this early Sunday morning and it was busy. You can tell yep. people like use their weekends to get out of the city and they go visit this little,
yep.
these little towns. So we kind of walked down and back. And then Katie, you knew that there was a cafe in the like
connected right to
connecting
the,
building yep. next to the Blouse Barn. And the Blouse Barn is now a pottery painting place called Crack-a-Doodle. And they
it's a chain. Apparently it's a chain in Canada.
There were several locations. I think we saw a second one.
Yeah, we did.
Point.
We saw another one on the way to Tedbet.
And they didn't open till noon and we were there like at 11. So we were like, well, we'll grab like breakfast at this cafe next door and then we'll see if we can get in and paint anything. I wasn't sure because of like sometimes that stuff takes a couple days and we were just there for
we were on the like we were settled that if they would ship to us, we were going to paint Skanky yes. on something, right?
Right. Yeah. You were very adamant that you needed to paint Skanky on some sort of ceramic. But no, we had our little breakfast. We had some croissants, which were fine. And then I had a chai, which needed some sugar. Again, maybe Canadians are just healthier. Maybe I'm realizing that we're just so used to like bread and sugar.
All the
that,
sweets
like,
and the bread and stuff.
We don't need that as much. So we both had to put a little bit of sugar in our beverages. And then the Blouse Barn.
Tried to go to the Blouse Barn.
It opened. And like, if you go back and watch the Blouse Barn episode, Katie, I think you'll recognize the interior looks very much the same as what the pottery place is now.
Yeah.
But you did ask if we could have stuff shipped to the U.S. And they were like, oh, no, it would end up in pieces probably. So
let's redo that. So we have an audio clip, Steph. Like I said, I didn't record our reaction to the motel, mm-hmm. but I did from here on out record our reactions to all events. So here's
Which
our
was
reaction.
Totally smart, yeah.
Here's our reaction of seeing the Blouse Barn for the first time.
God, I see it. The Blouse House.
The Blouse House.
Blouse Barn. Blouse Barn.
Look at all these cute
.com.au Blouse Barn Australia.
Oh, there it is.
That's it. Yeah, that's it.
Oh my god. The rocks.
Next to Spanx Spanx.
This is so cute.
So yeah, we didn't get to go in the Blouse house, but I think the funniest thing, I can't say it was the most funny, but something just made me laugh so hard. So there's this picket fence. There's like this courtyard, just if you're looking at the Blouse barn, it's just to the left. There's this like picket fence, which leads to a parking lot behind the like main street.
Yeah, like down some stairs and behind the main street area.
And we're just hanging over by this picket fence waiting for the Blouse barn to open. And crock-a-doodle, I keep calling it the Blouse barn. And this girl comes through the picket fence, through the gate, and then, or no, she tries to open it. And instead of like opening it, she full on rips one of the pieces of like the plank.
The picket part.
The picket. She totally busted a picket off this fence. And she just looked at us and we were just like
looking around like,
we're
I don't
know. From here. So
it's not ours. It's not ours. So don't worry about
and
it.
So she just kind of like tried to, it was like half cracked. So she kind of like just pushed it back into place.
Patted it back in place.
Patted it back in place and left. And so watching the Blouse barn episodes now, I'm like, I see the fence that she totally busted up.
Yep, absolutely. So yeah, Unionville was a super cute town, guys. If you go, I would say there were a ton. We went to the cafe because we were like, it was breakfast time for us. Mm-hmm. But there were a ton of cute little restaurants up and down that
lots
place.
Lots of Italian restaurants.
Lots of dog pet-friendly outdoor places that you could bring your dog. And the other thing we went into, we didn't buy anything, was that confectioner, the old fire station confectioner. There was a candy shop. Oh, my God.
Flavors of cotton candy.
Yeah.
Like banana cotton candy.
So definitely Unionville is worth a check if you and or maybe you live in the Toronto area and you've never been, even if you want to just get out of the city for a while.
Super cute.
Yep. So where'd we go next? We went to TedVet next.
We went to TedVet, which was in Stouffville or Stouffville.
Stouffville. I think they were calling Stouffville. It Stouffville.
And that was, again, just like 15 minutes up the road. And this was another like small town, but bigger than
busier than we were expecting.
Than what you would expect it to be. So we do have a clip of us happening upon the vet. So should we roll that and then we'll talk a little bit more? Okay.
Yep.
It's so wild because in the show where TedVet is, looks like it's the only thing in its block. To it.
And this is a very busy, like small town block with just
Remax,
gross
Century
buildings.
21, cafes, bars. Florists.
A spa. Is that Janine's? No, Opulence. Opulence Spa.
Can we get the Janine haircut?
Can I see a spa menu? Oh, I see a red awning.
Oh, I do see it.
Oh!
There it is. Just like that. Oh, we can park right across the street, too.
Oh, my gosh.
Look at that.
Okay, so it is like...
This is...
There's nothing right next to it.
Okay, this is surreal because this one actually is a vet clinic, whereas none of these other locations that we're seeing are the things.
This is
wild. It's the
Thicketwood Veterinary Hospital, Dr. Wayne Cole, Dr. Jason Steinman, Dr. Don something, and Dr. Ben Pointer.
Thicketwoodvet.ca if you are interested in bringing your pets.
And it's got the whole house, pet's apartment up top.
Cute.
So yeah, we hit TedVet, and to me, I think that, don't get me wrong, the downtown area felt very studio, like I was in a movie set, but TedVet was the first place we saw, and it was identical to what you see. It's like the red awning says veterinary clinic, and it was very easily just edited out the actual names of the doctors, but they kept the red awning, the building, the house, everything was identical to what you see. So that to me was the first surreal moment.
But you also said like it was deceiving because there's literally like a town on either side of it, but it's not a connect. It's like a freestanding building and there's like enough of a drive on either end and like space that they could crop in tight enough to you don't get that sense that there's anything
always,
next to it.
As we were standing there, I was wondering how do we even see wide shots of this building?
Because like
there's so
road.
Much. Yeah, because there's so much around it. But it was cool. It was very cool to see. It looks exactly like Ted's vet clinic and house. Like,
totally.
Like you see it in the show. 100%.
And in fact, when we were driving to Stouffville, we went through a couple other small towns and there was this like other vet clinic. And then right next to it was this like real estate house. And we're like, is that Ray's? It wasn't Ray's.
They could have picked this as two equally
And they were right next
good
door to each other.
Yeah.
But yeah, we did not see Ray's, but we did see Ted's vet, and it was everything we imagined it would be. We just get out, take a photo.
I was just about to say that was our quickest stop, and it was en route to the rest. So it was just a pull up, get out of the car, take a picture, and off we go.
Yeah. So then we were on the road next. Again, it was maybe just like 5-10 miles down the road to Goodwood. And we do have a clip of us coming upon that. I think this is probably one of my favorite reaction clips.
Yeah. And Goodwood is the main event, guys. This is where all the things are.
That is Schitt's Creek downtown.
I see the cafe.
I see the cafe.
We are definitely not the only ones touristing around here. Bob's Garage.
Oh my God. Oh my God. The cafe. The apothecary. Oh my God. Oh, there's the restaurant. Oh my God.
This is the apothecary right here.
Oh, you're right. Oh, I have the food. Sorry, I'm just overwhelmed. Oh my God.
Cute.
Oh my gosh, this is where Moira's Rose's Garden. Oh my God, there's Roland's house.
The Moira's. You guys, Stephanie is legit losing it.
Oh my God.
That's the Moira's Rose's Garden, 4856. Oh yeah, that is Roland's house,
it's
isn't
real.
It?
It's real.
It's all here, guys.
Oh my gosh.
We're getting out to explore.
So yeah, Katie, we made it to, if the motel was the mothership, what did we call the town? The town was like, it was...
like the homeland.
The homeland.
Like, basically.
It truly was. And it was, it's so crazy that they found, like, such a perfect, because when scouts are going out to, like, find filming locations, you know, there's always a little bit of, I'm sure, like, dressing they have to do. We're moving things around, bringing things in. All they had to do was the signs. Like, literally, they had
signage.
The cafe
that's really it.
Bob's Garage. And then general store turned.
It is. And that was when we were there, it was like being on a movie set. And it really was.
Something interesting that like helped with that too was the intersection. This sounds kind of weird.
It's like a wider intersection.
It's not a 90 degree intersection. It's kind of like a flattened, like an X, like a capital X. And so it allows you to see more.
Almost like a panoramic view.
Yeah. Almost like a set, which was makes sense that
like right in order you can see the apothecary, cafe, Bob's Garage in a big straight line from across the fourth intersection, which isn't, or the fourth corner, which isn't used in the show at all.
Right.
So you can stand there and see Schitt's Creek. So
it was amazing.
The three buildings on the main intersection, they're exactly like you see them in the show. And then just like if you walk to the left behind the apothecary where the Moira's Roses Garden 4856
I parked
is supposed
right
to be
next to the Roses
Garden. Where it should be. You can walk down the street to Roland's house, like kind of behind the apothecary, right?
And that small ass door is real.
Is very small, yes.
Hilariously small.
One of the cosmetic changes they did do to the house, I think I read this in the book, was, and it wasn't there, is on that side door to the house that faces the street, they put a little Juliet balcony on Roland Schitt's house. And
You're right. Yeah. So. I remember seeing that. It's like they can't use the front door because there's like a little fence there. And then they have like the little red robin or cardinal sign that says like the Schitt family home. I did go
These
back.
These people did have something, didn't they?
They did have something of their own. Yeah. Their own sign. I went back and watched the honeymoon episode from season one, which was You're Simply the Best, where they have the backyard barbecue. I think they might have actually filmed that in this house's backyard.
Like the driveway area to the side there and beyond.
It's like on the grass. Yeah. And you can like see the back inside of the house. So I think they may have filmed that. Cool. I would
so then in show terms, the motel would be beyond that. In if you're thinking of the show, which there's nothing beyond that. The town kind of ends just a few houses down after that and goes into the country. But so then if you turn around and you cross back over the intersection, you can walk past the cafe, you pass Bob's Garage, and the other direction where Town Hall is. See, to me, this is a little bit of a disconnect. Do you think that that's where they kind of play Town Hall off?
I do.
In that direction? You do? Okay.
Because Moira goes there so often that I feel like she's referenced like heading back to town. Actually, you know what it was? It was when they were doing the secret choreography rehearsals for Cabaret.
That's the episode I was going to go look back at.
And David's trying to distract her. And then Moira's like heading in that direction,
like diagonally across the street.
Yeah, and then he has to like try to get her not to go there, and then he's like chasing after her through the traffic.
Yes,
that doesn't exist.
So town hall is now a private residence. There's even a sign. Okay, I think the cafe actually has people living in it too. From what I read, but town hall actually has a sign in front of it that says this is a private residence. Please be respectful. So we could be taking pictures across the street, basically. Yeah.
Were other people taking pictures.
Yeah. Too. Yeah. We were definitely not the only fans in Goodwood that day. So.
Mm-hmm. And then we happened upon an extra.
Yeah, this was a nice surprise. Facade,
which was Ronnie's house. And it is exactly how it looks on the show, with like a long ranch with a 2-story garage next to it.
If you think about the scene where David and Patrick bring her a gift as an apology for being snarky on the bathroom, and she's packing up her truck in front of that garage, that's Ronnie's house. And I don't feel like we knew that was there. And I was like, wait a minute, this is it. This is Ronnie's house on the way there, on the walk to town hall. So,
yeah.
And it's so funny because David in that episode says, so should we just ride with you then back to the store? It's a walk that's literally not even worth getting in the car for.
Right. Not even.
It's like a 20-yard walk down the street back to Rose Apothecary.
So yeah, we headed that way, and then we went back into the town square, the intersection, which was like a pretty busy road, to be honest. Like I'm sure they had to do a lot of traffic control when they were filming there or block it off. Yeah. But we did not end up going in the apothecary, which for a while was this like wool yarn shop, which is now closed. They have multiple locations in the Toronto area. They just closed that one. And I couldn't tell if they're like turning it into something else. And there was a woman inside who like owns the building, which is currently for sale. And like, this is one thing I guess I wish we would have like gone up and talked to her and like, see if we could go inside and look around. But we got some exterior shots. And then the fourth corner, which you don't ever, it's not part of the show, but I do think we get little glimpses of it now and then, now that I know what's there, because it's kind of hidden by these trees, but it's this cafe and bakery called
Anina's.
Yeah. And you had read somewhere that Annie Murphy
did an interview, I think it was on like Jimmy Kimmel or Jimmy Fallon or one of those late night shows, and she said after they wrapped filming and everything, she one day was just feeling nostalgic and went back to the town and went to Anina's and had butter tarts. And butter tarts are a Canadian treat, I think. And so to me, I wanted to try that because she mentioned that. So, yeah.
Well, also just with Ivan with his butter tarts and blueberry.
Yeah,
butter tarts,
the bakery with chocolate stuff. Chips. So
we sat down. They had a little outdoor picnic area. There were a lot of people like, I guess this is a bike route because there were a lot of
cyclists
stopping, and they had some nice picnic tables. So it was great that we could just kind of sit there and enjoy the town and not just like have to take our pictures and leave.
Right.
Kind of
right. Thing.
It also made me feel a little okay that we were there, like, because this was a place that was meant to be.
You were giving them business and stuff too. Like, right. I'm sure they definitely reaped the benefits of the fans coming.
And inside, didn't they have like a couple of like.
Yeah. Signed photos and things like that. Yeah.
Yeah, it was a nice little stop.
They had a lot of stuff, too. Gifty things, hot sauces and salsas. And were there candles and stuff in there, too? Like some trinkety things
shirts
like that.
Shirts and things.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was a really great stop. I feel like it was all as we imagined, too. Like it looked exactly like it does on the show.
So, yeah. So then we were off to Herbertlinger Winery, which I think, surprisingly for both of us, it was kind of the highlight of the trip, which I was not expecting.
It really was. And I'm so glad that was our last real stop
our
that day.
Our planned last stop for the day. Yep.
It was also nice to have that full day to like take our time. We didn't feel like we just had to stop, click a picture and go because we had so much to see. Like we stayed there for probably like 45 minutes to an hour and just like, to enjoy ourselves.
So we knew we were able to wine taste here. And that was like the game plan, of course.
And this was up in Seagrove. This was farthest east and like a little north too. So this was like definitely off on its own.
Yep. So here's the thing though. as we're kind of pulling up to this winery, I'm thinking to myself, why does the building look so different? Like, why is it so different? This isn't the right.
It's like, it's hard. And I've seen like photos in planning this trip of this exterior. So I think in my mind, I was like, yep, that's what I've seen in photos.
So
that's not how it looks in the episode.
So I'm thinking like, okay, what's the deal? But then you go in and they have all the stuff. They have the signed pictures. They have some Herbertlinger swag. And I was like, well, this is the place, obviously. This is the place. So as you'll come to realize through through a little bit of these winery clips and these upcoming clips of our trip, the original winery is still owned by the same family, still the same brand name and everything.
Applewood Farms is
the name. They don't do wine tasting in wineries anymore. So it was a different location.
That's
more
like their orchard. Well, we did. We were confused.
We
weren't aware of that.
Obviously, we were going wine tasting, so we weren't visiting the other spot anyway. But exterior wise and even interior wise, we were not at the right building, but we were at the winery with the people and with the wines and all the right stuff. Yes. So
we do have a pretty long, we did each a flight. They've got two flight options.
First of all, lovely, lovely little place.
So
we were
charming.
There on Sangria Sunday.
Yes.
And neither of us thought the sangria sounded that good, but we wanted to do the flight anyway, so we could do a proper tasting.
Yes. So we did flights. We have a, I don't think we'll play the full, it's like a 10 minute.
I'm going to shorten it up.
And you're going to hear some lovely music in the background. We had a live music man. He says his name at the beginning of the clip. I can't remember off the top of my head, but
they had
some great music,
ton of picnic tables outside, and the outdoor, there was an outdoor bar, and then of course, like every winery, there's a store inside with swag you can buy, and
it's also in the middle of a cornfield too, which was like kind of hilarious. And they had some live animals, like you were over petting the, we thought they were geese, but I think they were ducks. They were white.
They were white ducks of some sort, but
some sort of
So, yeah, when we first purchased our flights, we were talking to the woman of, like, presumably the owner, whoever
it's
was in charge that
owned,
day. It's a family-owned business. And she immediately, we were wearing our Jazzagals shirts. So she immediately noticed our Jazzagals shirts and asked, you know, what we were up to and where we were from. And she was just shocked that we were from so far away. And
she was like, are you lost? And I'm like, no, we're right where we want to be.
And we just kind of, a little bit of chit-chat. So then we did our wine tasting. So should we play the wine tasting now and then we'll come back and talk more about what happened after?
Yeah, sounds good.
All right, we're here wine tasting, guys. Not sure if you can hear us because this place is really busy and there's some live music, which is nice ambiance, but cramping my plan for wine tasting. So first, what did you say the first wine was?
The first wine is called the Allora's Harvest.
Okay.
And this one is, it's all very fruit forward, as we were expecting. Apple, blackcurrant, raspberry, and cranberry.
You tasted it already. Anything with the word harvest in it insinuates
could be
fall,
different every day.
Fall to me. Ooh. It's very tart to me.
Very tart, yes.
This guy's got to get back to his baby. Ooh, that's a, you're right, harvest could be anything. Mm-hmm. Whatever we have
depends
that day.
Depends on the day. Also, this winery is in the middle of a cornfield, which I don't expect when you think about a winery. But
yeah, Steph missed it. Steph missed our turn as we were driving up.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly because there was a hamburger jail on the road.
from
old school McDonald's play place.
Yeah, this one's very tart.
It's something.
Yes, I feel like these are very reminiscent of communion cups.
Of what cups?
Communion cups.
Oh, yeah. Or things they put meds in at an old folks' home.
But it's five tastes for $10. That's not bad.
That one was okay. Not my favorite,
no.
If I'm being honest. And what's next?
Well, the next one is the Eden. That is a strawberry and rhubarb.
Okay, here we go.
This one looks like it's got some good bubbles to it.
Ooh, I like that.
Ooh.
You don't like that?
I do, yeah.
You do? Okay.
I like it's like a, almost like a sparkling wine.
It has like a sour beer taste to me too.
Yeah. Oh no, this is the crab apple cider.
Oh, okay.
Bad.
This is the cider. That's why it's so crisp.
JK, guys.
It's pear and crab apple.
Crab apple. Brown eyed girl.
Well, they've got like full on food here, too.
All right. What's next?
Now it is the Mac Mead. I'm a little nervous about that.
This is
that
a mead.
One.
I'm not a big mead fan.
Mead is apples and wildflower honey.
All right.
I expect mead to be darker. This is like a white.
No, meads are made from honey. So they're usually clear. I can definitely like have the honey taste, feel the honey taste in them.
Oh.
It's very sweet.
It is.
It tastes like honey to me.
I like that.
I think we're getting better with each taste, honestly. Mm-hmm. I think the first one was lowest so far.
Too tart.
Oh. I don't know, though. When I drink too much of it, it's like...
Yeah, I'm just doing
like I could never drink a full glass of this, I don't think. It is very honey concentrated. Mm-hmm. Like scooping a spoon of honey into my mouth, like Winnie the Pooh. Like Winnie the Poohing it with this mead. Not my favorite.
So did they film inside of this space, or did they use it just as the exterior?
I am actually not sure. I want to say they just did the exterior, but she'll know.
Because there were like two rooms, I remember, because when they get picked up.
We should ask her when we...
We have to watch it again.
Yeah. So there's washrooms over there. They look like outhousey style.
They do.
On a scale of 1 to porta potty, how bad do you think they are?
Well, I see a pipe coming out of the wall.
So you think it's just...
Oh, no, that's an old piece
plumbing.
Of farm equipment.
Shit.
I think there's basic plumbing.
You think there's basic plumbing?
It's like it's a building. It's
since we've spoken so much about bathroom facilities. Yeah. All right, what's next?
All right, next is the Eden, and the Eden is the strawberry rhubarb.
Okay.
I'm not a fan of rhubarb.
Getting hints of something. I don't think I can drink this one. That has a weird aftertaste.
Have you ever had rhubarb before?
No.
It's very sweet.
Tastes like dirt to me. I'm getting hints of gravel. It's like dirty.
It's like medicine. Gives me a medicine.
So I just gulp it down like a shot.
You can chuck it in the weeds behind you.
No, I'm not gonna. It's alcohol abuse.
I think this one should be in a blend.
That's bad.
Tastes like amoxicillin.
That one's bad. That tastes like amoxicillin. I knew there had to be one, right?
Yeah.
Oh, how are you sipping that? I can't even.
How did you chug it? I couldn't do that.
No, that's a quick and easy. That's quick and painless.
Oh, God.
Relatively painless.
I'm afraid it's going to come back up.
Ugh. Let's not dog the winery too much, though. The lady behind the counter was super nice.
She was.
Yeah. Loved
I don't
her.
Hold. I never hold a
winery to one wine.
Or what do they call a sommelier?
Oh, yeah. Oh, you're dripping.
I think this is the trio.
Okay, last but not least.
Let me make sure. All right. Oh, no, this is the...
Trio. I thought it was
trio. So the trio is raspberry, cranberry, and blackcurrant.
Okay, this one sounds good. Now this one sounds promising.
Okay.
Here we go. Last but not least.
Bottoms up. Oh, God.
Ooh. I think the only one I liked is that I would buy is the cider.
Mm-hmm. I like the cider and I didn't mind the Mac Mead.
That was okay. I wouldn't buy that, though. This one's not bad, but to have a whole glass of it? Okay, well.
We came, we saw, we drank.
We came, we saw, we drank. It's also Sangria Sunday, and I think it sounds like they make a batch of a certain flavor every Sunday, mm-hmm. So I think we should probably end with that, right?
Yeah.
What do you think?
I would either do that or I'd order a cider.
You would order cider?
I'm a little leery of the black currant.
because that's been in two of the ones that I haven't. The sangria was black currant and rhubarb.
Oh no, then I'm gonna get a cider then.
Yeah.
The crepe apple.
Crepe apple.
All right. Well, we tasted the wines. Mm-hmm. Gonna order ourselves a full glass and enjoy this live music.
So that was our take on the flights. Yes. I'm feeling a little guilty because I don't think we gave any of them that great of reviews. But these people were so sweet, and now I feel bad.
But here's the other thing that I think it makes it even more perfect. Like, they specialize in fruit wine, and the show, we get to talk to the owners in a little bit. You'll hear more about that. Talked about how when they chose this location and saw that they were fruit wine, like, they basically changed the script to go along with the fact that this is a fruit wine.
Well, that's kind of what he was assuming.
Winery. Yeah.
You'll hear why he talks about, we talked to the owner later. So,
yeah. But fruit wine is fruit wine. And
it's very different from regular wine.
It can be very tart, very sweet.
Or just very unique.
Yeah.
Every fruit has
I will say we both really loved the cider. We each bought a 6-pack. I'm drinking some of mine right now. It's the Applewood pear and crab apple cider.
Yes.
And so we did end up buying those, which we liked. But the others, I don't know.
I just weren't my jam personally. Right. I'm sure that a lot of people do buy them. I did see a lot of people ordering. It was Sangria Sunday, like I said. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people were ordering that.
I was surprised though. They had a mead, which I've never tried mead. I didn't even really know what it was. It's like honey.
It's made
wine.
From honey. Yeah.
And that can be another like love it or hate it. And I'd never tried it before. And I'm surprised that I actually didn't mind that. Like, if I would have bought a bottle of any of the other ones, I think I would have bought a bottle.
I've tried a few meads before and they're kind of hit or miss, but that one, I've never had one that was so honey tasting. That one very tasted like I was drinking honey. And to me, that would be good for just what they do, like an aperitif, like a limoncello after dinner, mm-hmm. or like just a sweet little shot or something. So that would be a good reason to buy that if you were into that kind of stuff. It was too sweet for me to drink more than just the taster, honestly.
Totally. Yeah, for sure.
The music was nice. It was a nice atmosphere. Like I said, we weren't really wowed. I think my reactions were very honest personally in that wine tasting clip.
But it makes it funnier too. Like, but we still, like you said, this was the highlight of our day easily, I think. Was ending here.
And then of course I had to try the public facilities.
Oh yes.
The deceitful facilities.
They looked like they maybe had, I think in the clip you'll hear, I'm like, oh, I think I see plumbing. Oh, no, that's just a piece of like farm equipment on the building. So, yeah, Katie got to have a first experience.
We all know how I feel about bathroom situations.
Their facilities, yeah.
So here's just a couple fun clips.
Guys, I'm about to find out if the washroom has real plumbing or if it's a porta potty scale 10.
Come along for the ride.
Get ready. It's literally two porta potties inside the shack. So I literally just gagged my way through a shit the entire time. No plumbing, Seth. No plumbing.
Oh boy. Herbert Linger, what have you done?
So yeah, guys, I was betrayed on the bathroom situation. We all know how I feel about porta potties. You've all heard the story.
Yeah.
So that was the only disappointment of this stop, I would say. But then after that, things got really good. So
yeah,
we finished our wine flight and we both agreed that we like the cider. So we're like, okay, let's order a full serving of the cider and then we'll head out after that. So I go inside and paid for our ciders, and the woman again is once again checking me out, and she asked a couple more questions about us, and I said, yeah, well, we're actually doing a podcast and this has been kind of on our to-do list the entire time. And she's like, oh, well, how would I find it? And I said, well, you'll have to remember the name. It's called Shit List. And she really thought that was hilarious. And then her husband, who was also working there throughout the day, kind of came in and she told him, oh, they have a podcast. It's called Shit List. And they got a little laugh out of it. And so I ordered the two ciders and I'm chatting about it. And I I just was saying, yeah, we're almost done. We're starting season six at the end of summer and yada, yada, yada. And she was like, oh, yeah, you know, well, this is kind of where I first clued in that we weren't at the right building. She said something about, well, you know, it's in Stouffville, the original in Stouffville. Mm. And I was like, oh, it kind of didn't really dawn on me then that that's what she was saying. Mm-hmm. But then her husband was kind of coming in and out and he brought you the ciders while I was still mm-hmm. while I was yeah. still in there talking with her. And then as he's coming back in from doing that, she said, well, I have something to show you. I'll show you guys something before you leave. Just don't tell anyone. It's like, oh, OK. And the husband, too, was like top secret for special people only is what he said. Okay. And he's like kind of shuffling around boxes. Mm-hmm. I don't think I told you that. And so I came back out and we finished our cider and kind of I told Steph what happened and we're kind of just speculating.
Like, what could it be?
What could this be? Like,
do they have Bob back there somewhere?
What, like, what's from the what? I mean, in my mind, the only thing it was going to be was like some kind of a prop from the show or something that we could yeah, see.
Right.
So I don't know. It was just like, we were just sitting there and I will say, like, I feel like I was getting a little buzzed and our conversation was yeah. getting a little more just funny.
Yeah. Also, they have a 2-drink maximum at this winery.
For, yeah.
So they don't overserve people. So again, Canadians being just super responsible. Mm. We love that.
So we drank our cider, finished up. We went inside to the gift shop and both kind of wanted to buy some of the cider to go and a t-shirt. And so then the gentleman, you said his name was Matt, right?
I believe his name is Matt. Yes. Yeah.
I'm really bummed that we didn't talk to her one more time, but she was busy with customers mm-hmm. and we didn't get her name.
It was busy that day.
Yeah, it was really busy. And their two daughters were also out serving and helping people too. So definitely family run. But yes. he kind of started talking to us and I had my audio recorder and I said, wait.
In my mind, I'm like, Katie, if you don't grab that recorder right now, what are we doing?
He started talking about the show and things. And so I said, wait, like, do you mind if we record this? Because this is by far the coolest thing that's ever happened. Because he's clearly talking about things happening and shooting and
yes,
whatever. So it's a little bit of a long clip, but I would say definitely worth it to have a listen.
Absolutely.
So we'll play that and then just kind of talk ourselves down from the joy and euphoria once again.
Sounds good.
We're dorky and like we're really geeking out about this.
Absolutely.
So they covered geeking, everything. Absolutely.
Okay. So when they take over the winery, they basically cover everything that is Opwood and they put
Herberlinger, yeah.
And everything you see hang there, every article, like this one here that says ice cider, great for patio weather. Go ahead and read the actual sentence. So,
it's just different.
So there's with digital media, so you can zoom in.
Yeah.
So they don't want anything
that makes sense. That
makes or could be
copyrighted. That is actually what you are.
So everything, there is a special name for that now within that lovely group.
Yeah.
All the articles you would see there, we've got a bunch of them hanging
yeah.
up here.
Yeah.
That is all that gobbledygook. Yeah.
So you guys own the winery?
Yes.
And you've owned it since then?
So we actually started in Stouffville on okay. what was my parents'
yes. Oh, okay.
And
we saw a couple of locations.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's no longer a winery. That's okay. We picked up the winery when we got our own farm.
Okay.
We moved everything here.
Yeah.
So, but that still goes on.
Gotcha.
So the way this came about, as I understand it, they called us in, I think it was 2012, and it was a location scout. He said, do you have, you know, can we come in and look at your winery? We're looking for, it's a show called Schitt's Creek. It's Daniel and Eugene Levy.
Right.
And
O'Hara, like, you knew who they were, right?
Yeah, well, they're like
Eugene and Catherine, for sure. Yes,
yeah. Yeah, no, Daniel, I didn't really know.
He was a young guy, but...
And so he came out, he looked at it, and he really liked the place. They had contacted a whole bunch of wineries already. We were 35 below zero when he called.
Oh, okay.
So the wineries that they were contacting, that were all grapes, were saying, we don't know if we're going to have anything alive above the ground.
So fruit wine was a benefit.
So they actually, I think at that point, maybe the whole script turned to fruit wine. Because the fruit wineries were saying...
Well, the fruit wine is what makes it hilarious for that show.
Exactly. Like, even we were, like, reading through it. There's a line about the crab apple wine and the crab apple cider.
Yeah.
It's so cool.
So, yeah, that is where... how we ended up there, and then they came back again for the
season six
later, with the wedding. And you should get a picture at the bar because that's where they were in front of the bar tasting.
Did you meet them all?
Yes. Well, I met who wasn't Stevie wasn't there because she wasn't in it.
Right.
Patrick was there, though he wasn't in it. He was still around.
Catherine, obviously.
They were. I mean, they had to be lovely. Daniel and Eugene were on their day. Like, they were there. Whereas Catherine was chatty. She was very, but they were
all
really
business
lovely.
And like.
Well, they weren't all, they were very lovely and chatty, but they definitely were watching everything.
Knew what they were doing and knew they were like.
Catherine, I think, was. She was just tower. Right?
Yeah.
So when she wasn't on, she was.
It's so cool.
So lovely. Yeah, they were. Everything you'd hope a Canadian.
Definitely. This is by far our coolest stop.
It really is.
Like, like, the town was cool, but like, to hear people that got to see them and like talk to them and stuff. And the wine was good and the cider was great. We're buying the ciders. So
I'm going to send it off with these. The only stipulation, they left and they didn't take the labels. So, because they labeled all our product. They just said, don't let them that up on eBay or anything.
Okay.
So don't sell them. But this is what they would label our.
You have literally just made this entire trip.
Really?
Thank you so much for everything.
Like, I'm dying. Like, this is the coolest thing that has ever happened to me in my life.
Well, we got to meet the Jasmine.
Yeah,
so that's
so awesome.
Yeah.
And thank you
so
much.
So we've been doing the podcast for about 2 years.
We're almost done. Yeah.
We're just about to start season 6.
Oh, yeah.
So we'll be done.
So
you
really dissect each episode.
Yeah. We go episode by episode, and we took a longer summer break. And actually, we weren't even supposed to do this trip this weekend. Something else got canceled. And so we were like, well, let's do it now.
Yeah.
And I don't know. It's
just ended up working out so well. So thank you so much.
This is so fun. Like, this is our last stop, except on the way home. We're stopping at Rattlesnake Point to do the engagement hike.
Oh,
did you watch the show?
Yeah,
all right.
You know, we watched the show because they filmed it. So we thought, well, we should at least, watch it. And to tell you the God's honest truth, the first season was sort of like...
That too.
It was like hard to take them. Like, they're horrible people.
We didn't fall in love till season 2.
And
but...
everybody was raving about it. So at this point, it's a couple seasons in when we start watching on Netflix, and it's like, oh yeah. By the time we get to the end of the second season, we are in, right?
The barn scene, right? It sucks.
Yeah.
It's like, I love these people.
Yeah.
Like,
and we
so
just
good.
I think first of all, the personal growth of each character,
yes,
was so fantastic and so well orchestrated and planned.
Yeah.
And the fact that they didn't flog the winning ones, right?
Yeah.
They could have gone another 4 seasons probably.
Oh yeah, but quit while you're ahead, right?
Yeah. You had a vision. You stuck to that.
Well, the fact that even the show won so many awards
at the end
of seasons is very rare. Like,
yeah,
the shows, they ended at the exact right time. And
so good.
Yeah.
So in our podcast, like, we each pick our simply the best of the season. And then we kind of go head-to-head and... We don't have, like, super a lot of followers, like 200 and some.
Yes.
But they all vote. And they all vote. And it's just been really fun. So we're almost done. But this was, like, the pinnacle of our, trip.
We've been talking about, like, our program. Literally. So
it's been so fun. Yeah. So, wow, this, like, made my day. That's very cool.
Fantastic.
Thank you so much.
You're very welcome.
We'll get back to we'll make it back to the States. We'll tell everyone to come visit you if they're
in
here.
Okay, so special thanks to Matt from
and Applewood Farms and
Applewood Farms. Yes, like, by far the coolest thing to hear him talk about them shooting and everything.
Yes, And it was so funny because he, like, you hear, he's like, Stevie wasn't there, but Patrick was, like, he,
yeah, they're fans of the show. They're fans of the show, too. So,
and even when he said, just like how when we started this, like,
we didn't like it.
They were so unlikable, but then it's about the character development. And I'm just like, yes, that's exactly what we talk about and why we love the show so much. So it was so cool to hear him speak as a fan, but also someone who got, like, a firsthand look at,
like, in who was involved. Yeah.
Right. Totally.
So if it wasn't obvious, he gave us something from the show.
I've already put mine in a frame.
You can't, like, tell what it was from our reaction, but I think he said in the clip, you know, they left all these extras with them with the stipulation that they don't wind up on eBay. Mm-hmm. And they were the actual prop labels that they used to cover their bottles of wine.
Right. Because everything that was proprietary, he says, like, because if covered anyone, up, like, pausing and zooming in, they have to cover it up. So they use their wine, but just
put Herbertlinger bottles on it.
So Katie,
wine bottle stickers.
I have a Gewürztraminer.
Gewürztraminer or whatever.
Gewürztraminer, a fruity wine from 2014. A beautiful label.
Mine's an oak Chardonnay. I don't have it in front of me, so I don't know the year, but yeah, so he gave each of us a label, like an actual prop label from the wine. Stephanie framed hers already.
I already framed mine. And I went back and I watched the Moira Rosé episode. And I can see both our labels in the background.
Yeah, you can. Good.
Yeah, which was super exciting. So yeah, that was just between the conversation and such, like, I don't think he realized what a big deal that was going to be to us.
Yeah,
I think he did. But, like,
yeah,
it was just such a, for how this trip came together so last minute in the end, like, it couldn't have gone. Like, that was just the icing on the cake, you know?
Yeah, like, 100%. And like I said, we were at the right location, but the wrong location at the same time. And who's to say what would have been the circumstances if we'd have gone in September like we were planning?
Yeah, totally. But
would they have been there? I mean, the kids might have been in school. It might have been a different situation.
Well, they were literally closing the next day because they're taking, like, a family vacation this week, I'm assuming, before their kids come back to school or whatever, which is great. So I'm like, if we had literally come a day later, we wouldn't have even been able to come there or have that conversation. So
definitely the highlight of our trip, I think.
Totally. And before we left, Katie, we have to include this, at least the audio. you
all day I was practicing the
did an inspired monologue.
Yeah, the commercial, the Herbertlinger commercial from season one
with one of your Applewood Farms wine or ciders in your hand. Yep. And she was practicing, learning the lines, like, literally the whole day as we were
learning the lines in the car as we were in between locations.
And we posted the video on our Instagram, but let's throw in the audio here just for fun too.
All right.
I think that's fun to listen to.
In the lee of a picturesque ridge lies a small, unpretentious winery, one that pampers its fruits like its own babies. Hi, I'm Moira Rose, and if you like flute wine as much as I do, then you'll appreciate the craftsmanship and quality, one that comes with the muskmelon goodness in his oak Chardonnay, or the dazzling crepe of the Riesling Rioja. See what good fruit can do for your wine. You'll remember the experience, and you'll remember the name. Bingo ling fucker.
So yeah, we left the winery. We had some extra, we were kind of done earlier.
It was like 5 o'clock. Yeah.
We had some extra time that day. So Steph said, well, why don't we, first of all, like, run down to the lake, because we were right north of Lake Ontario. And then while we were there, we headed to the mansion. I was very confused by this at first because I didn't realize this is the mansion that they use for the interior shots. Yes. Not the opening of the whole show mansion.
Is that like a sprawling estate?
Where it's like a drone shot of a big estate. This is just the interior mansion. Guys, it's still on the market if you're looking.
If you've got $17 million. That's what it was
at
one point. I guess I haven't checked the current listing.
So if anyone wants to go in on that with us, we could start a GoFundMe and
make it happen.
All be partial owners. We could all own one room in the house.
Yes. It's like a timeshare where everyone pays for like a week.
Yeah.
Something like that.
So that was kind of our last stop for the day. Mm-hmm. We headed back to the motel.
Well, no, we had dinner.
Oh, right.
We had some decent... What did we have? We had poutine.
The poutine, but it was with a butter chicken sauce. Butter chicken poutine. Indian inspired.
Yep.
It was good.
And then I got a shepherd's pie, and you got a...
It's like a chicken kebab, like a Greek, yep. Greek mm-hmm. inspired. And a French yes. onion soup, because I love French onion soup.
That's right. And then, yeah, we went back to the motel. We watched...
Once again in bed at 8 o'clock,
also,
which was fine.
Is this true in the U.S.? The Office now plays on CMT, which is like country music television channel.
You know, country CMT has a lot of random sitcom-y things on it now. I think
that used to be like how MTV used to be for music. CMT also used to be for country music.
It's not like that anymore.
Like, we watched an Office marathon.
I think the only place to watch any type of music video anymore is like YouTube, right?
Yeah, that's where all the music
nobody
videos
plays
go.
The videos like the good old days.
No. Mm-mm.
The good old days.
So
back to the hotel in bed by 8.
Totally.
So now we were planning on doing Rattlesnake Point. I think we mentioned at the very beginning.
Yes.
That was going to be on our way home because it was pretty far west. And we did have rain in the forecast.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of had to get back for a work errand. So we didn't really have the time anyway. So it kind of, that part of the plan just fizzled out. So I didn't propose to Stephanie, unfortunately, on Rattlesnake Point.
But we had figured out Sunday night. It was when we kind of put two and two together, like, oh, this isn't the winery.
We're at the wrong building.
And the one that they did use is in Stouffville, which is close to Ted's Vet. And I guess I wish we would have realized that before, because we probably could have seen it on Sunday. But then we're like, well, let's just hit it, even if we just get an exterior shot, because I don't think they were open yet on our way out of town. And so we pulled up, but they had a gate that was closed. So we're like, we couldn't drive up to the building.
And it was behind a cornfield. You could just see the peak of the roof.
You could see the red roof. So we saw the roof, but we couldn't see anything more than that. So that was like the one, you know, thing that we...
But the error was definitely in our favor, considering the outcome of the first
stop. Our experience
yes.
the day before was like amazing. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So then we headed home. That was it.
We headed home. We went through Windsor. We went through the tunnel, which was interesting, back into the United States. And our...
we pull up to customs.
Our customs agent was an American, less... jolly
in a bulletproof vest, standing there all mad looking, and I thought, oh god, this is going to be a completely different
America.
experience.
But no, he let us through. We didn't mention Schitt's Creek. I don't think that would have done anything.
I don't think he would have been like, what'd you just say to me? I think he literally asked, did you buy anything while you were there? And Stephanie said,
like, two six packs of cider.
And he said, that's it. Yep. Yeah. And he's like, okay, bye.
Bye.
So we were like, thank you for keeping our country safe.
there was one thing I just remembered I wanted to mention. When we were driving, coming up to Toronto, and then we saw it again on our way back. So there wasn't a lot of like propaganda signs or like crazy billboards like you see in the US. Like, it was all just like very like untouched nature, which was kind of nice driving along the highway. Mm. But we did see a couple as we came to Toronto. There was this big banner on the right. It said Jesus saves. And on the left was a giant sign that just said broccolini.
Right across the road. It was a giant red sign with white writing, broccolini. And
so we saw,
not sure what that was about.
Jesus saves his broccolini. So if I when I was putting notes together, I'm like, if we have to like give this a crazy title, like
is broccolini,
Jesus saves
broccolini.
Is that the title of this episode?
Oh boy. Well, I have no idea how long we've been going, Stephanie, because I didn't start a timer. Did you?
It's just a little bit over an hour.
Okay,
we're doing good. Yeah. I dropped Katie off on Monday. I headed back down to Ohio. You headed back home, and that was it.
What a great trip.
So yeah, all in all, it was a great trip. I feel like we were able to see what we wanted to with the time that we had, and we weren't feeling rushed. I did want to just like take a moment and maybe give some final thoughts and recommendations for anyone who has thought about doing this trip or is planning to, or just like doesn't know if it's something they should be doing. Because like I said, that was something in the forefront of my mind, was like, I don't want to be offensive to the people who live here and be a nuisance. And I never really felt like we were. So I guess...
No, I don't think so.
First of all, if you live in the Northeast, like even if you were coming like through Buffalo, coming from like New York State, like it still wouldn't be, I think, a terrible drive once you cross into the border, maybe like two and a half hours.
It's really accessible.
If you're flying, like the Toronto airport is maybe 40 minutes from where we stayed in Newmarket. So you could always, I suppose, fly international if you're not, you know, able to drive there. Mm-hmm. But definitely, I feel like it was 100% worth it.
And yeah, it was definitely cool to see everything. And even, you know, okay, we're dorky people that just want to do it for Schitt's Creek. But like we said, that small town of Unionville was a cute place to visit. Yeah. And if you have the time, you can make it a trip to Toronto as well. So it's more than just Schitt's Creek if you have the time to do that.
And I think there's plenty of opportunities to, like, they have Airbnbs and we stayed in a hotel because it was so last minute too. But like, there's a lot of opportunities to like support local small businesses mm-hmm. there too, because where they chose to film, like that's what it is. And so, you know, from where you're going out to eat or staying or what you do, like, I think there's just so much there that you could, you know, you could support local businesses on this trip yep. and not just be like simply a tourist. So,
and it's really easy to, I think, at all of the locations to just take your pictures from a distance. And the only place I felt like we were, like, originally in the motel, that was the only place it felt like we were somewhere we shouldn't be, just because it was just like we a shutdown.
Middle of nowhere, and we were the only people there. Homes, and in fact, when the other couple pulled up, in my mind, I'm like, oh, is this the owner? Are we getting kicked out? Are we getting in trouble on our first stop? But it was just another group of people.
More fans. So,
and I think in general, it seemed like Canadians are
friendly.
Well, I knew they were friendly, but as far as their thoughts of the show, like, they, I think, appreciate what the show has done for their towns. Yeah. It's not like a detriment or like ruined, you know, the small town greatness of everything. So like when we talked about it, like, oh yeah, we're here for Schitt's Creek, no one was like, oh, you
right. People, no one was like, ugh, roll your eyes at it, blah, blah, blah. Right. I think too that so much time has passed that they probably like kind of like, even though talking with the winery people, like you said, like that was a big thing for them. And it's probably farther and fewer between now since we're so distanced from the show that people even come there for that or want to talk about it. So,
yeah, totally. But yeah, it was all in all an excellent trip. If you got a long weekend or if you even want to make like a week of it and spend some time in Toronto too. I think both of us said we could see ourselves coming back to Toronto.
That's our next
easily.
Trip.
That's our next trip. Yeah, for sure. So yeah, we did it, Katie. We did what we said we were going to do. And it was amazing. And we've got the photos and memories and wine labels to remember it all.
Yep. It was grand.
It was grand. A grand old time. And it was nice spending time with you too. Like at one point you were like, we're just so cool. You said that when you were driving.
We are. Like, who else does this and just gets together? And
honestly, I felt that way. So I started doing solo road trips back in like 2017. And I would do a couple a year. It's been a minute since. So this was really nice and refreshing. But like, if you're someone who hasn't ever, like, just take a solo day trip if you can. Like, you don't have to stay anywhere overnight. Just drive 3 hours to see something cool and come back. Right. And like, that can be it. You don't need to like make it this big thing where you like block off all these days and take time off work. Like, if you can do even just like a fun day trip and it could be by yourself, listen to your favorite podcast, like Schitt's List maybe, or
like Schitt's List,
like Schitt's List, or whatever. Like, I remember how liberating it was for me when I started doing those trips. And this was a good reminder of like, in theory, this can seem a little daunting, but once you just like pick a weekend and do it, if you can, it doesn't have to be crazy expensive. Like I said, it can just be going for a drive. It's so
just a good way to see things and
it's like it's empowering too, to realize like we're capable of doing these things and seeing these things. So I really enjoyed it. It was great.
Yep. It was pretty awesome. Well, everything I expected it to be and more.
Me too. So we will be back. This is coming out on Labor Day weekend. So happy Labor Day, everybody. If you celebrate Labor Day, we will be back next weekend as we next kick off season 6, the final season of the show.
As next week's episode comes out, I'll be completing a triathlon the day before.
Oh my gosh. Well, good luck to you on that. And we'll get all caught up with what's been happening this
week. We got lots of news, lots of updates.
Lots of news.
Back to our regular format next week. So
excited to do this one last season with you all. So thanks for tuning in for this very special episode. Have a great week. And until next time, best wishes.
Hey. and warmest regards.
Fat Spatula.